Chapter 23. People started screaming. I reached for the amulet around my neck and drew it forth as I directed an effort of will at it to call forth light in the darkness. And nothing happened. I'd have stared at my amulet if I could have seen it. I couldn't believe that it wasn't working. I shook the necklace, cursed at it, and raised it again, forcing more of my will into the amulet. It flickered with blue-white sparks for a moment, and that was it. Mouse let out a louder snarl, the one I hear only when he's identified a real threat, something close. My heart jumped up hard enough to bounce off the roof of my mouth.
"I can't call a light,"
I said, my voice high and thin. A zipper let out a high-pitched whine in the dark next to me, and steel rasped against steel, then rang like a gently struck bell. "Father," Michael's voice murmured gently, "we need your help." White light exploded from the sword. About a dozen things, crouching within 3 or 4 yards of us, started screaming. I'd never seen anything like them before. They were maybe 5 feet tall, but squat and thick with rubbery-looking muscle. They were built more or less along the lines of baboons, somewhere between pure quadruped and biped, with wicked-looking claws, long, ropey tails, and massive shoulders. Some of them carried crude-looking weapons, cudgels, stone-headed axes, and stone-bladed knives. Their heads were ape-like and nearly skeletal, black skin stretched tight over muscle and bone. They had ugly, almost shark-like teeth, so oversized that you could see where they were cutting their own lips, and they didn't have any eyes. Where their eyes should have been, there was nothing but blank, sunken skin. They screamed in agony as the light from Michael's sword fell on them, reeling back as if burned by a sudden flame. And if the sudden smoldering reek that filled the air was any indicator, they had been.
"Harry!"
Michael cried. I knew that tone of voice. I crouched as quickly as I could, as low as I could, and barely got out of the way before Amorakio swept through the space where my head had been and slammed into the leaping form of one of the creatures that had been about to land on my back. The thing fell back away from me and landed on the floor, thrashing. Its blood erupted into blue-white fire as it spurted from the wound. I snapped my head around to stare at Amorakius. More blood sizzled on the blade of the sword, like grease on a hot skillet. Iron. These things were fairies. I'd never seen them face to face before, but I'd read descriptions of them, including when I'd been boning up on my book learning to figure out the identity of the Gruffs. Given that this beastie was a fairy, there was only one thing it could be.
"Hobbs!"
I screamed at Michael as I drew the gun from my coat pocket.
"They're Hobbs!"
After that, I didn't have time to talk. A couple of the Hobbs around us had recovered enough from the shock of sudden exposure to light to fling themselves forward. Mouse let out his deep-chested battle roar and collided with one of them in midair. They went down in a tangle of thrashing limbs and flashing teeth. The next Hob leapt over them at me, stone knife in its knobby hand. I slipped aside from the line of his jump and pistol-whipped him with the barrel of the heavy revolver. The steel smashed into the Hob's eyeless face, scorching flesh and shattering teeth. The Hob screamed in pain as it flew by, crashing into one of its fellows.
"In nomine Dei!"
Michael bellowed. I felt his shoulder blades hit mine, and the light from the great sword bobbed and flashed, followed by another scream from a Hob's throat. The Hob, wrestling with Mouse, slammed the huge dog to the floor and rose up above him, baring its fangs. I took a step toward it, jammed the revolver into its face, screamed,
"Get off my dog!"
and started pulling the trigger. I wasn't sure what hurt the Hob more, the bullets or the muted flashes of light from the discharge. Either way, it recoiled so hard that it flung itself completely off of Mouse, who came to his feet, still full of fight. I grabbed him by the collar and hauled him back with me until I felt Michael at my back again. The Hobbs withdrew to the shadows, but I could still hear them all around us. As bright as Michael's sword was, I should have been able to see the ceiling far overhead, but it spread out for only 20 feet or so, far enough to keep the Hobbs from leaping onto us in a single bound, but not much more than that. I could hear screams still drifting through the interior of the station. I heard a gun go off, something smaller than my .44, the rapid shots of panic fire. Whoever was packing was presumably shooting blindly into the dark. Hell's bells. This was going to turn into a real mess if I didn't do something. and fast.